The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. You are looking at the shark today. We've had some swimming weather across the United States lately. 108 degrees, 107, 106, 105. It's the countdown to Joe Biden's birthday parties. But anyway, we're going to jump right into my favorite part of the show today because we got a lot to cover. Things are really moving along fast this week in the news world and in the United States as a whole, I believe. And in case I disappear during the middle of the show and somebody takes me away, it's the aliens. In a land of stars and stripes, a tale unfolds of aliens arriving, as the story goes. They came from a distant galaxies afar to the land of the brave beneath the stars. Aliens are here with curious eyes to see what's happening, to hear their cries. Can they straighten out the U.S., they wonder, in a land where chaos and division thunder? With their advanced tech and wisdom profound, they observe the nation astounded, spellbound. They see the rifts, the struggles, the divide, and ponder if they can help turn the tide. In Washington, they watch the intrigue as politicians bicker in endless fatigue. The aliens whisper it's time for a change, to heal the nation, to rearrange. But intervening is no easy task, as they navigate through the complex mask. For humans have the power to decide, to work together or let the country slide. The aliens roam the cities and towns, meeting people with smiles, not frowns. They listen to stories, hopes, and dreams, seeking to understand the country's themes. They seek the kindness, the compassion, the glow, yet also the issues, that problems that grow. Can they straighten out the U.S., they wonder, and bring unity, not asunder? With their knowledge and insight profound, they share ideas, solutions they've found. They urge people to unite, to stand as one, to build bridges, not walls, under the sun. They preach the astounding and empathy, to bridge the gaps, to hear sets hearts free. For aliens know that strength lies in peace, in becoming together, all strife to cease. But humans are stubborn, set in their ways. Some embrace change, while others it dismays. The aliens sigh, for they know it's true. Their guidance can only go so far. It's up to the human crew. And so the aliens continue to roam. Through the cities far and wide they comb. They leave a message to call to all, to rise above, to answer the call. In a twist of fate, a tale so bizarre, aliens descended from a distant star. They infiltrated the Senate and Congress with glee, and the White House, where power used to be. Their spaceships hovered, cloaked from sight. No one suspected their covert flight. With advanced tech and mind control, they took over. They reached their goal. The halls of power, once filled with might, now echoed with an eerie light. No intelligent life remained in sight. The aliens ruled with all their might. In Congress, debates were quite absurd, as the aliens spoke with an alien word. Their policies baffling and strange left the nation in a state ready to change. The White House, once a symbol of pride, now housed aliens who couldn't hide. They tried to mimic human intelligence and grace, but their intentions were hard to erase. The nation watched in disbelief as the aliens brought by their policies only grief. No wisdom, no reason, no insight. The once mighty leaders now held in blight. The people yearned for a glimmer of hope, a way to break the aliens' choke. But resistance was futile, they soon learned. The aliens' power, it fiercely burned. Yet deep within a spark remained, a longing for freedom. Could it be sustained? No intelligent life may be left, they say, but the human spirit will find a way. So can we rally? Can we please unite? We must try to reclaim our world with all our might. For in the face of the unknown and grim, humanity's resilience, I wonder, will it ever win? In a land of politics, a tale to tell of the impeachment fear that may ring the bell. The politicians gathered all in a huddle to discuss the scandals and causes for muddle. First came Senator Hyden Biden, quite full of pride. He boasted, "I've got nothing, nothing to hide." But little did he know, soon to be discovered, the famous secret lie. This being exposed would cause weaker men to go hide and cry. Next came Representative Pelosi with that frown. She tried to keep her misdeeds away from sight and underground. But the media tried to sniff them out like a bloodhound, and her troubles multiplied. They seemed to compound. The public watched with drinks and popcorn in hand as the drama unfolded. Who knew it would be so grand? Each day brought new rumors and more theories, and the nation was laughing, all full of queries. The president stood there on shaky ground with his adversaries waiting all around. He tweeted and yelled, trying to distract, but the pressure was on. Now that's a fact. Impeachment talks flew thick and fast as pundits made predictions. Would the media coverage last? Would he stay or will he go? The people pondered to and fro. In Congress, a circus, a political show. They argued, they debated like they do everything, nice and slow. Some yelled he's guilty, others he's not. The whole thing was becoming quite a deja vu plot. But then a twist, a sudden surprise. A witness appeared with bulging eyes. "I saw it all," they proclaimed. "I was very near." And the impeachment fear, it drew again so clear. The news outlets loved it, what a thrill. But they did not cover it. They said they'd have already got their fill. Late night comedians had missed the ball. It was just turning politics into a free-for-all. As this saga continued day after day, the nation's attention got lost. It wasn't here to stay. But amidst the chaos, something arose, a strange unity of the people, like cocaine up a nose. People from all sides, could they ever come together? Take a real look through all the stormy weather. For the impeachment fear, though strong and clear, was also a chance for Democrats like Schiff to say, there is no evidence here. In the end, will the storm subside? Will some brief relief, as others do, just hide? But the memories will fade like a funny dream. Of the impeachment fear, Dems say, it's just a crazy scheme. So let's raise a toast to politics and grab a beer, and hope for more laughs that they are coming this year. For whether impeachment is near or far, Washington still is nutty and very, very bizarre. In a world of whimsy and some delight, where facts do frolic both day and night, there lived a strange fellow, oh so queer, who thought he could make facts just make them disappear. He was so strange at the White House, he continues to claim, the facts never matter, to think so, that would simply be insane. But when confronted with the truth, he'd scoff and say, I don't need no proof. His friends would try and laugh, oh, what a clown. He thinks with the media, he can just shut truth down. But little did he know or recognize, oh dear, facts just don't disappear when ignored. You think that would be clear. One day he stumbled on a thought, a brilliant plan that he had finally sought. I'll simply close my eyes, he said, and all those pesky facts will disappear right out of my head. He shut his eyes and turned around, believing he had discovered the victory found. But as he paraded around and pranced with glee, facts sneaked up silently. They really don't disappear, you see. They whispered in his pointed ears, we're still right here, the statement brought him to tears. The facts kept saying, ignoring us won't make us go. We're very stubborn, we're facts, and have to show. Then Joe frowned and scratched his head. I thought by sure, for now, the facts would have fled. But fine, he said, if you won't disappear, I'll cover my ears, I'll force you to leave, that's clear. With hands on ears, he hummed a song, determined to prove the facts were all wrong. But facts are sly, they'll always find a way to make their presence felt that very day. The facts scribbled on his walls and floors. They danced around him more and more. No more, what do you do? They always yelled. Facts will always stay true, even when they smelled. Then Joe, in a huff and a puff, decided he had really had enough. I'll build a media fortress strong and tall to shield me from the facts once and for all. He gathered the reporters some bricks and built the wall to hide from the facts, both big and small. But walls, he said, they don't work, can't stop the truth. Truth still gets in the way. That's what he learned from his youth. But the facts just laughed. Oh, what a show. He thinks his fortress will protect him. We're so stubborn. He just doesn't know. His life lived probably devoid of what is true. But we'll be here waiting to be discovered, whatever he may do. As time now goes by, he maybe finally has realized that facts are like unwelcome guests, his statements now being revised. The facts stuck with him no matter what. The bleeding started. With things going this way, it may not clot. He finally saw, with his eyes now clear, that facts really just don't disappear. Ignoring them won't set him free. At some point, he will have to face reality. In a courtroom drama wild and absurd, a tale of antics, oh, how it occurred. A defendant named Hunter, with a smirk so sly, found himself in trouble. Oh, my, oh, my. He stuck a plea deal, seemed like a breeze, to avoid a sentence that would avoid jail. It's a sleaze. But his antics and charm, they were not legally bound. And soon his plea deal in front of the judge became unwound. My plea deal imploded, Hunter cried, as his lawyer shook his head, knew they got caught inside. For Hunter, you see, couldn't resist, making mischief. Oh, this story, what a strange twist. He thought he'd outsmart this legal fray with his lawyer's witty banter and the words that might sway. But the judge was stern, it's going to the jury too. His plea deal crumbled. What now could he do? In court that day, an unknown sight, Hunter tried to act cool with all his might. But the judge was stern, no time to shuck and drive. Your plea deal's gone, the judge said today. It won't revive. So Hunter, in dismay, began again to plot. He needed a new idea. He was in a tight spot. If I can't win with the courtroom strife, I'll just get loaded. That's been my life. He hit the bars, he hit them hard. A drink in hand, some coke. He used a credit card. Cheers to the mess I'm in. It was just another day, ignoring the problems of his life. That was just his way. With each line and drink downed, his worries flew. In a haze of laughter, he found his life's cue. Who needs a plea deal, he thought with glee. As long as I'm president's son, I'll always be set free. But little did he know, oh, what a goof. Ignoring this problem wouldn't get rid of the proof. His antics caught up with him, as they always do, and some consequences may soon be coming into his view. He stumbled and slurred a wasted mess, a trouble again, you could always guess. But in his heart he knew the truth, that ignoring his issues was quite uncouth. So back in court in August he will have to go, no lessons learned, though they put on quite a slow show. Some more ignoring the mess he created. Is it time to face the music? Let the statue expire again? Should he have waited? So Rhyme Time this week had so much to say. I wish we had better news to report on. Who knows what this president will say? We tried to advise and get you the facts. I know that many politicians these days seem like artifacts. But try as they do, we must complete this task each week. The facts may get old, but they are never not unique. So as we end Rhyme Time, here we are again. Remember to use your smarts in life and your brain. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll tell you, this week was an amazing little week in America. Once again, we have put forth a team of ungrateful, useless individuals called the FIFA American Soccer Team. And what am I talking about? Well, let me tell you something. This is part of the problem with this country lately, and I have a real deep respect for this country, and you all know that. That's the way I was brought up, and that's the way I live my life. This country gives you everything, and the only thing it asks for in return is that you respect it. And that's the problem in America. So let me tell you what I'm talking about. Why do players who represent the United States, who have been given the opportunity, these little ingrates that get tons of money, endorsement deals, everything from the United States that they've ever worked for and dreamed about when they were kids, and they now come to the stage, the world stage, not just the American stage, the country that gives people so much, cannot seem to get the slightest bit of respect from the people who are benefiting the most from freedom and who enjoy this America? Why is that? It simply baffles me how when they stand up before the American public and before the world, when every other nation sings with high voices their praises of their own national anthems, and we can't get a bunch of stinking soccer players to sing the national anthem, put their hands over their hearts, and be Americans for just 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking for them. Just 5 minutes. Respect the country. Say whatever the heck you want. But when it comes to the national anthem and this country, you better respect it. And I got to tell you, America, you got to start speaking up. If you feel the way I do, then do it. Let them know. You know what? Maybe it's time to Bud Light FIFA. Boycott their games. Don't go to their games. You want to play politics? Go ahead. Go play politics. You want to represent this country, which is what they are doing in the FIFA. Okay? If they want to represent this country, then you respect the country you represent or don't represent the country. That's your choice. This is America. Get out. Go away. Get out of the limelight. Go do whatever you want to do. You want to yell and scream? You want to go burn the American flag, which I don't agree with, but that's your privilege. There are people who have fought and died and get buried under that American flag for you to act like an imbecile. So I think I'm calling again this week, and I'm doing it again. I'm calling for a boycott of FIFA for at least a couple games. Boycott them. Let them know you're unhappy with them. Because if you don't hit them in the pocketbook, guess what? The Democrats figured that out a long time ago. They were smart. They figured out that if we boycott these companies, we hit them in the bottom line, and they'll do what we want. Hey, it works. It's worked forever. And Hugo Chavez knew that. Back in the 60s, he knew that. But what do we do in America? Although conservatives, we take in the high road with this road, with that road. We'll get off the road and get in the game. Well, the problem is this. And it starts not, and I don't blame these people, particularly each one of them. What I blame is the system that brought them up. That's our education system. We put the radicals in the education system, and we figured, how much damage could they possibly do? All these crazy loons, put them in the education system, let them do what they want to do. Well, guess what? This is the product of education in this country. People who don't respect this country. And I heard some very disturbing things with regard to percentages of Gen Z and how they feel about America. And I'll get into that a little later on the program. But I just wanted to jump into that with respect. That was high on my list here. I just cannot believe that we are teaching people to disrespect and hate this country. And that's a problem. That's a problem for America, and that's a problem for the future America, if there is one. Because right now, I don't see a heck of a lot of a future for America right now. We're so busy fighting each other and beating each other up. Society's crumbling. Faith is gone. And what do I mean by faith? Faith in people. Faith in what you're doing. Faith in what you do makes sense. We don't have that anymore. How many people in this country are sitting there going, what am I doing every day? I'm just getting by. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. The American dream is dashed all over the place. It's been destroyed. The elites are getting richer. The poor are getting poorer. The middle class is paying for everyone else. You want to talk about a fair share? President Biden? Fair share? Does the name Hunter Biden ring a bell? And I'm not picking on Hunter. Listen, if you're going to start telling everybody to pay their fair share, don't you think you should start in your own house? I can't wait to see what we're going to find out about that house. That's going to be interesting. But I got to tell you, we're going to jump into something else right now because I think we've spent enough with FIFA. It's an embarrassment. It really is. When you get up there and you act like idiots, it's just too stupid.
Mark,
you just got to see, this is America. Love it or leave it. The door works both ways, although lately it works one way. But the door works both ways. You're free to leave anytime you want. And all those people who said they were leaving the country when Trump got elected, they're still here, folks.
Let them leave.
Yeah. Because it's the greatest country in the world. Get it straight.
We started going downhill two times, or the second time. One, when we took discipline out of schools, we took discipline out of families. We destroyed the word discipline, took it out of the vocabulary, out of every dictionary in the world. And then the other time, and I don't think people realize how this has affected so many areas of our lives, your life, my life, when we destroyed competition. Vince Lombardi once said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. But now we as a society turned that around and said, oh, if the little sweetheart shows up to, well, whether he practices or not, that doesn't make any difference as long as
the participation trophy.
As long as the little sweetheart shows up, everybody gets a trophy. That ain't life. Has that been your life? You've won every case.
It's not been my life.
You've won every case whether you showed up or not, right?
No. You didn't get a trophy unless you won. And that's the way it should have been. And why was that important? Why? It wasn't because, did I feel bad? Damn straight I felt bad. But you know what? The next time I got back out on that ice rink, or the next time I got back out on that field, I busted my butt because I wanted to be that guy, that number one. I wanted to be meritocracy, not mediocrity. I know they sound the same in America, but apparently our politicians and our leaders think mediocrity is what meritocracy is. It's not. The outcome is not guaranteed.
I don't have to put my hand over my heart. I'll get the trophy anyway.
Yeah, it's because we let them get away with it. The first time somebody like Colin Kaepernick kneeled, well, Kaepernick.
Dumb
shit. First time he kneeled, I would have taken him out of the team. Out of the team. The guy on the NHL who didn't wear a pride jersey because it disagreed with his religion, they took him off the ice. Why do we accept disrespect to America? Why? There's no reason. The glue that held America together for all these years was the one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Yeah, liberty and justice for all. Remember, and I've talked about it before, the most amazing speech, Martin Luther King, I have a dream. Judge a man by the content of his character, not the color of his skin. What have we done under the Biden administration and in the United States now? We have diversity networks. We have people who demand, whether you're qualified or not, that you get into some place. And that's the way they want it. Why? Do you want a doctor operating on you because he's a different color? Because he got into school because he's an idiot? Or do you want the best guy? Do you want the best lawyer? Do you want the best race car? How about we put in short people in basketball now? Where's the diversity in basketball? Where is that? Basketball is like 96% black. Why? Because they're the best at the sport. They're the best at what they do. That's what we want to see, the best. And it has nothing to do with what color they are. This is the stupidity behind this. Why does the Biden administration pick people? Well, one might think it's because they're all incompetent, and you got to pick incompetent people for his cabinet and everything else. But checking boxes is what you get. This is what you get. You get the product of stupidity. When you check boxes instead of qualifications and quality. When you go and you buy something, do you want the best product or do you want the product that matches your color? Well, if you're an idiot, take the color. If you're smart, you'll take the best product. So why is that different in life? It's not. Only in America. Only in America did we decide that this is what's going to be. We're going to put diversity over intelligence. Listen, the best way to get diversity in higher education is not to push them into a situation they're not qualified for. How about let's fix all the schools? And I've talked about this before. Baltimore, San Francisco, Detroit, New York City. Austin, Texas. How about let's fix the schools so that our intelligence can start at the beginning? Then you don't need to push anybody into a position they're not qualified for, because what a novel idea. They would be qualified to get in.
You
right?
know, Mark, you just hit a hot point with me. I was just thinking about what you said. Let's fix all the schools. Right now, we can't fix the schools because we ain't got nobody to fix them. Look at what would go in there to try to fix the schools. It would be crapola. They're the ones that have destroyed the schools.
Well, here's the problem. Here's the first problem I see with teachers. Okay? And my father was a teacher for, I think, 36 years or better. The problem is very simple. You cannot have a teacher and pay them $50,000 a year and not expect them to be able to make a living in this country and to have a, not have a second job. You want to pay somebody to do something. You want to pay them to do the right thing. You want to pay them. That's why charter schools, I think, for me personally, charter schools would be incredibly effective. Why? Because it then forces the market change in the public school. Now, I heard something the other day, okay? Listen, my kids both went to public schools where I live. Fantastic school system. My kids are both very successful. Graduated with honors. One of them graduating with a 401 with a 3.89 total QM. Brilliant kids. Not because they're my kids. Because they were educated and their parents put the time and effort in. We didn't do all kinds of things without the kids. We always took our kids, and we sat with them every night, and we read with them every night. I can tell you I've spent thousands of hours reading to them and eventually listening to them and going with them and doing things. And that was the brilliance. That was the brilliance in what was going on in this country. We have lost that. It's gone. It's gone. Nobody wants to pay attention. Nobody wants to take responsibility. Parents think, well, it's not my job to raise my kids. It's the parents of the school. Well, no, the school is not parents. The school is people who are teaching your kids. But you want the best teachers? Pay them $100,000 a year. You want to bring teachers to a profession that know how to teach, who want effective teachers? You can't pay people $50,000. The people who went into teaching, not all of them. Some of them are very good. You've had a couple on this program, actually. Not on this program, but on the station. And they're excellent people. They went into it because they want to make a difference. But when you have something like this, you cannot attract the best people by paying them garbage. A garbage man makes more than a teacher makes in their first couple of years. That's wrong. That's simply wrong. But honestly, this is not going to change unless we change it. And the radicals in this country, they like stupid population. They love a dumb population because you know what? Dumb, unarmed people are easier to control. Quite simple. Dumb, listen to that. Dumb, unarmed people are easier to control. Listen, they're having hearings on aliens in the Congress. Now, how many of you out there don't think that, or do think that we are the sole existence in billions of universes in this, I don't know what you even call it, the Big Bang, the giant dot, whatever it is. Listen, we all believe, and I know deep down people, oh, that's crazy. No, to think that you are the only person, the only planet in the entire existence would be ridiculous. But here's the problem. I think the aliens came here. They helped us out a little bit. They built some pyramids for us. They built some other stuff. And then they said, these people are too stupid. We got to get out of here. We'll never be able to get them up to our civilization. Forget it. And now, my honest opinion is, I think they're coming back. And I think I heard it the other night on television. I think, what's his name? Tyrus. Tyrus said it best. He said, hold on there. We cannot let them get back up here. These people are crazy. Talking about the human race. The aliens are talking about us saying, well, we got to make sure they don't get here. Because if they get here, they're going to screw everything up just like they did on their planet, just like they did in their civilization. And I go back to the same thing I said last week, the sense of community. It's all gone. It's all gone. So now we have, okay, so now we have some guy testified, a bunch of guys testified about aliens and biologics from the crashes. Okay, so now what? Can I ask someone, why is that classified information? Why? Why doesn't the population of America know about things like this? Are we too dumb? Are we too imbeciles? Are we idiotic? Are we panicky? Well, that's a very good point. Panicky might be the reason. But at some point, we got to stop classifying everything, because let me just tell you something. The people right now who are leading this country, I am not impressed with at all. I am seriously not impressed. Talk about mediocrity. We're not even getting to the mediocrity standard here. So a little bit of some talk about with respect to the age and politics. You know, there's a cutoff ages for judges that's 72 years old, and then they throw you out because they feel probably because you're not smart enough. Nah, probably because you're not sane enough at that point. You may have some difficulties. So what happens? We have people like, well, I saw yesterday Mitch McConnell. What a scary moment. Obviously, the guy had a concussion a couple of weeks ago, and he's not right. Listen, the guy just sort of blanked out, whether he was having a stroke or something else at the time. He just went blank. That may be the sign of some type of stroke, and I'm not a doctor, so I won't pretend to diagnose him from here, especially since I didn't examine him. But the bottom line is, you have Mitch McConnell who just stops in the middle of a press conference, and he was fine later, so they say. But clearly, he's got an issue. Clearly, he's got an issue. But the bottom line is this. You have a guy like Mitch McConnell running the Senate for the Republicans, whatever's left of the Republicans. And then you have, on the other side, Dianne Feinstein, who yesterday during a vote was just completely baffled by the words aye or nay. She had no idea what she was doing. I don't know what she thought she was or where she was, but there's video of her just losing it. She was talking about, I'm inclined to go with a yes vote, and then something or other she was talking about, and then her aide had to come over and say, just say aye. Huh? And she went, huh? What? Just say aye? And then somebody else leaned in her ear and said, say aye. And she goes, aye. She had no idea what she was doing. But, and then we have the Joe Biden effect. Oh, he's Gaffness. Sir Gaffness. That's what he is. He's just a giant gaff machine. He's always been like that, right? Listen, folks. Forget the media coverage, because the media covered Mitch McConnell like he had died and then come back to life. But Dianne Feinstein, she's perfectly fine. Nothing wrong. Nothing to see here. And Joe Biden falling off stage is falling upstairs. Stairs are beating up Joe Biden. How tough of a projection is that for a world leader? Where stairs are beating him up. Sandbags are beating him up. He can't remember what day it is. And if that teleprompter goes blank, guess what? He's in the Mitch McConnell state of mind. But the bottom line is this, is we have to have some kind of mental acuity when you represent people. If you don't represent them, that's your problem. Don't worry about it. But you represent people here. This is an age problem. No, this is not an age problem, because I know people who are 96 who have all their marbles, who speak clearly. They can't jump around the way they used to, but you know what? They do everything they do because they can. They're well aware of their surroundings and everything else. But Mitch McConnell, Dianne Feinstein, Joe Biden, they're out of it. They're on some other planet, maybe with the aliens. But this is the problem. We let them go. We just let him. Don't talk about Joe. Joe's great. What did Nancy Pelosi say the other day? I was laughing my head off. She goes, he's just a kid. He's younger than I am. Lady, you're older than granite. Okay? You should have been out of there many, many years ago. Go enjoy the rest of your life. You're over 80 years old. Go enjoy. You know? But you can't lead a country like this. And that's why I got to tell you, both parties are losing the Gen Z. And I saw something on that. I saw some specs on that. It just seems like everybody is fading out. Nobody's caring about what's going on anymore. And here's the question. You know, the Senate and the Congress. Senate's under control of the Democrats. Congress is under control of the Republicans. Can someone please tell me, please, and no disrespect, can someone please tell me what they have done lately for America? Somebody asked me a question, and I asked this again last week. What has government done for you? In fact, since Joe Biden's been in office, what has been done for you to make your life better? Isn't that the purpose of what the people we sent to Washington is for? Isn't that it? Maybe I missed that. But they're supposed to be working on the people's business. And here we go again. There's no people's business being done. Listen, you want to investigate people, investigate everybody. But do your jobs. So they had yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, they had hearings on transgenderism. I think it's less than 1% of the population in America is talking about transgenderism. And you all know my feelings about that. I think it's child mutilation and it has no business going on. You know, you can't buy a gun. You can't go purchase alcohol. You can't do things as a child because you don't have the frontal lobe development. It's just plain and simple. You don't have the decision-making power. And if you're a parent and somebody gives you the choice, and one of the witnesses testified yesterday, she was, I think, 12 years old when they basically mutilated her. She was a girl. She was a little bit of a tomboy. You know what? When I grew up, we had lots of women I grew up with who they were tomboys. But you know what? Nobody lopped off their body parts and gave them hormone treatments. And later on, guess what? They were the most stunning, amazing female women. But you know what? We get in our heads in America these stupid little things that get under your fingernails and you're like, I gotta get this out of my system. We're having hearings on this stupid stuff. Listen, you cannot tell me that when you were 11 or 12, unless in a very, very rare situation, that you need to disfigure somebody at that age. And you need to intervene and play God, literally, by stopping puberty. That is absurd to me. And yet, am I a conservative? I'm a conservative and a liberal at the same time. I know that's hard to believe, but yeah, a little bit of both. So I don't think the government should be in your bedroom, do whatever the heck you want. But I do think that sound economic policies and sound societal policies are important. Such as, hey, you commit a crime, you go to jail. What a novel, amazing concept. Wouldn't that be great? Just think about it. You have a criminal, he commits a crime, and he goes to jail. He gets committed. He's removed from society to pay for his sins. Yeah, okay, that's great. Why are we doing that? I don't know. Can't figure that out. So here was the greatest figure I saw today. And this was reported by Gallup, June 1st to June 22nd. It says, people who were proud to be Americans in 2013, 18 to 34 years old, were 85%. 18 to 34-year-olds now, 18% are proud to be Americans, as opposed to 2013, 85%. What do you think that's from, folks? Goes back to, again, our education system. What are we teaching our kids? We're teaching them garbage. When you put garbage in, you know, I had a professor at Cornell University when I took statistics, and he used to say, garbage in, garbage out. It was very simple. You understood that concept. Why don't we understand that with our kids? If you teach them garbage, that's what you're going to teach them. They will understand what garbage is. Well, that is absolutely great, isn't it? Amazing. But if you teach them garbage, that's what you're going to get. It's the same reason why we keep electing the same idiots, and we send them to Washington, and we expect them to become brilliant. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Look at things like the simple things in this country that could make life better. Okay? Why is racism such a front and center thing now? Why have they done that? Why is it important what color somebody is now? We spent the entire 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s getting rid of that concept. Getting rid of that was the most important thing. And now all of a sudden it's become front and center. Well, what are you? Not who you are, but what are you? What color is your skin? What do you identify with? Who are you? You don't know. Well, I want to identify this week as a transgender female. How about next week a transgender male? Because it's a choice. Do what you want to do, right? but I don't care. Why? Because that's not important. If that's the defining trait of your personality, you have a problem. And you're going to need more than professional help. You have a problem there. And this out-of-control behavior of our children, I'm sorry, start holding the parents effectively culpable for what their kids do. I saw something the other day in Seattle where they were having some kind of a car race. You know, these kids take over the intersections and skid out and kill each other. And the cops get there, and then they leave. Why? Because the crowd attacked the police, and the police backed away. Why? Let me just tell you something. Not only in my day, when I was that age, as a teenager, would I not have even thought of doing something stupid like that? Because not only would I have been arrested, but when I got home, I would have had the ever-living spit kicked out of me, put it that way. Because my parents didn't put up with that stuff. Dave, it's called discipline, I believe, right? But we don't have that anymore. So just to cover some other stuff here. Now we have, our border is still out of control. I saw this week again, Mayorkas was talking to Congress, talking, lying. When his lips are moving, the guy's lying. Listen, Republicans, pay attention, okay? I'm going to give you some free advice. When you get free advice from a lawyer, you should listen. Stop investigating and start doing something. Because without doing something, all these stupid investigations are useless. It doesn't do anything to anybody. It's useless, it's ridiculous, and get off of it. You guys are going to be like the Department of the IRS with the tax case against Hunter. If you keep investigating and investigating until the statute of limitations runs out, and then you don't have to do anything. It's a beautiful scheme. It works. You see, the IRS did it.
You know,
but you
Mark,
know what? Yes.
I hate to do this to you, but, and you're going to hate it even worse probably, is that I watch a gentleman, a minister, call, his name is Hagee, John Hagee, and he doesn't mind taking on the IRS. He doesn't mind taking on anybody. And his sermon this past Sunday was exactly what you just said.
Uh-oh.
I'm amazed at it, you know, is that you and I can sit here and talk about it until the cows come home or until we turn blue, but we got to stand up and do something. And that's
what his whole
message was about.
We're not doing anything.
We're not doing anything. You got to stand up and do something.
You know, I think the first beginnings of what actually took place this week is this was actually pretty funny. And I know we're getting short on time, but it is amazing to me the disparity in coverage of the media. And this is listen, conservatives in this country, you need to start taking back the media. See, I gotta give credit to the radical left. I really do. They took over the institutions that they saw the bedrock of America was built on. Our educational system, our national media. They took over that. Like NPR. NPR is just the DNC. But it's publicly funded. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with news or coverage anymore. It's ridiculous. And people listen to this. And this is pretty funny. We pay for the radical left to have a news station and a media outlet. I mean, but listen, look at the media outlets. Look at the coverage. During the Trump administration, 96% of the coverage was negative. Why? You're telling me that the guy didn't do anything the entire time? His policies were phenomenal. Listen, I don't know about you guys. You want to pay $4 or $5 for gas as a Biden supporter? Go ahead. In fact, you know what? You want to climate change it? Go ahead. You should pay $10 a gallon. I don't want to pay $10 a gallon. I want to pay $2 an hour. So I should have a red card that says $2 a gallon. And you should have a card that says $8 a gallon. Well, I guess what? Then you'd say, oh, wait a minute. That's not fair. Well, wait a second. You wanted the green energy. Listen, when green energy is ripe and it's ready to go, would you eat a green banana? No. You wait until it ripens. It's the same thing with green energy. It's not ripe yet. It's not ready for prime time. And by the way, folks, and I've covered this in my couple programs back, we don't own any of the raw materials for all this green energy stuff. So stop being a bunch of imbeciles. You want to make China number one? And people say, well, what's the big deal? There's a huge big deal. They are now economically more powerful than we are. They are now more powerful in terms of their military, in terms of their navy, in terms of their aircraft. Let me ask you something. You think, and I heard again, Russians, their Russian plane just took out another $18 million Reaper drone. How long do you think it would take Trump to say, arm the freaking drones, and when they approach our drone, you give them one warning, and then you shoot them down? Oh, people are going to say, oh, that's going to create a world war. When you attack our drones, is that not an attack? Is that not an attack on us? That's like saying, well, wait a second, Ukraine can't go into Russia because that would be an offensive matter. But when Russian comes into Ukraine, oh, that's a defensive matter. The stupidity is the same. You must understand, if you project weakness, China, Russia, North Korea, and by the way, side fact here, where was Russia this week? Oh, they went to a North Korea, and they went to a North Korean parade, a military parade. Huh. And how do you think North Korea survives? On their great farming? On their great production of equipment? No. They're funded by China. That's China's puppet. Guess what?
And who funds China now?
Yeah, well, we've been funding China. We've been funding them for years. You like that cheap crap you buy at the mall? Yeah, that's what you like. So you just keep doing it. But the problem is in this country is that we have to see the future. And there is no future right now. I don't see it. I don't see a future right now. I'm looking at this and I say, why are we doing this? And if you can't answer that simple question, why are you doing this? Then you shouldn't be doing it. Because everything that they are doing right now is not doing anything. It's not helping anybody. Why is this moron not drilling American oil? Oh, people say, oh my God, because we're killing the planet, the green energy. We're buying hundreds of millions of gallons and barrels, millions of barrels a day from foreign countries who hate us. We're not using the oil because guess what? You might be able to push your car for a mile, maybe. Not in this heat lately, but push it a mile, maybe a half mile. After that, you're out. You're out. You can push it around town, be as green as you want to be. Use your scooter. In fact, take a vacation with your family on your scooter. See how far you get. You know, the 7-Eleven or the Quick Pick. But this is the sanity that we have to think about. This is what we're doing in this country right now is an insanity. It's a populist insanity. We've gone bonkers. You know, and I have to be quick about this, but I'll bring it up. The Hunter Biden deal. You gotta love the deal. You know, I looked for that the same way I looked for the alien biological forms. And I found nothing anywhere to see what that plea agreement was. I saw snippets. I saw little pieces of it. But I gotta tell you, that's as hard to find as a UFO sitting on your front lawn. But what was very interesting was, all these high-powered attorneys, the U.S. attorneys, and I'm sure Biden's got this guy, is a master, right? He's a master of agreements. He's got it down pat, right? He's got the whole system set up. But here's the problem. You know, I could blame it on the fact that you get smarter when you do crack and cocaine. But the fact is that this judge, Mary Ellen Noreika, actually, they keep yelling, a judge appointed by Donald Trump. What does that mean? When's the last time you heard a judge who was prosecuting Donald Trump and persecuting him, that he was appointed by Obama or he was appointed by Biden? Well, guess what? They never tell you that. Why? Because it's unimportant, folks. It doesn't matter. But somehow or another, if they keep yelling about it, you'll think it's important. Well, guess what? It's not. So the federal judge goes in, and I got to give her kudos on this. She asked the most important question. Mr. Weiss, if there's an ongoing investigation, and you may have other charges, why are you pleading out this deal yet? that's going to give immunity for future deals that you haven't even investigated yet? Did he have any precedence for that? Oops. No, he did not. No. You know, they were very slick about it. The immunity clause was actually buried in the diversion agreement, which is normally a standard boilerplate agreement. But somehow or another, this paragraph was buried in the middle, all the way in the diversion agreement. And what did they think? The judge wasn't going to read it? It's just rubber stamp everything? This is amazing. And by the way, she was not given the agreement other than the day that they appeared, which is really, to me, if I'm the judge, I want to see that agreement at least a week before. I want to be able to go through it, make sure I understand it, make sure both parties understand the agreement, which apparently after the deal blew up, they did not. Because the defense thought it gave them immunity forever for everything. And guess what? Weiss thought it didn't do any of those. He never gave them. But guess what? Nixed the deal. Sorry. But by the way, just for those of you who care, the sentencing guidelines for the two misdemeanors, which Hunter was getting apparently probation, was 24 to 30 months. And I didn't even get to the felony tax evasion charge because I don't know. They never charged them with that, so I can't tell you what it was. But I'm betting the sentencing guidelines were much higher than that. But that's just an aside. You know, not saying that it wasn't a great deal, because listen, I've worked out great deals for clients. That's okay. That's part of the process. That's why people pay big bucks for you. But here's what you have. You have a deal that stinks. And honestly, I don't even care about Hunter anymore. I really don't. It's not about Hunter. Forget Hunter. It's about what did Joe Biden know. And I'll go back to that FD 1023 from the FBI. Can you explain to me, somebody, because I have no reason for this, why after seeing that and recognizing that there may be two tapes of Joe Biden demanding money from foreign governments, that nobody in the FBI thought to take a second look at this or say, hey, there might be a problem here. Take it to somebody. Well, you know what? If they took it to somebody, I want to know who it is. I want to know who put the kibosh on this FD 1023. But where are you? Where's Jim Jordan? Where's the rest of the knuckleheads in the Republican Party? We're busy chasing aliens. Listen, they're not the existential threat right now. The existential threat to America is its government. That's what's going on right now. This plea deal and the rest of it, this was just a cover-up. Why? Because then you can't bring Hunter in to testify to anything. You can't ask him any questions. It's over. And guess who's going to tell you anything? Nobody. Nobody. The one guy they thought was going to turn and tell exactly what was going on, hey, the DOJ indicted him for arms trading. He said he's an arms trader. Said he never touched a gun in his life. That's kind of tough to do as an arms trader, I would gather. But, you know, I'd have to go back to, where do you go from here? What did we learn? Have we learned anything? All these investigations, all these hearings, what have you learned? Listen, they buried stuff so far down, it will take years of digging to find it. And it's going to be over. But what I find amazing is they also, this week, they upped the charges on Donald Trump. They apparently brought another two or three, or they're going to bring two or three further indictments. I downloaded the second indictment. It's about 60 pages as opposed to the prior 44 pages. They added apparently another defendant, and they're going to bring some other superseding indictment charges against him for interfering or something of that nature. Listen, you can track him down all over the planet. You can charge him, and I'm still waiting for Georgia to get their indictment on. By the time they get there, there'll be nothing left. But they've effectively, honestly, made him the martyr. They've made him the second coming. He is the martyr for America. And he said it best. He said, they're not coming for me. He said, I'm just standing in the way of them coming for you. That, to me, stuck in my head. Because you know what? At first I said, what is he talking? And then I said, you know what? This guy might have something. Listen, love him or hate him, you know for a fact two things. He loved America. He's always loved America. and he wants the best for America, and he wants the best for the American people. He doesn't want $50 billion for himself. He's already got that. He's already got the money. He's already got the life. He said it. What did I need this for? Because he loves America. That's why he's doing it. But what I want to know now is, where are the charges of the documents, the document conspiracies and all the rest of that stuff from the special counsel? Remember, there's a special counsel appointed for Joe Biden. If you're going to tell me that the IRS and the FBI can now investigate Joe Biden, I'm going to laugh the entire next hour next week, because that is a ridiculous case. How a special counsel was not appointed in this case is just baffling to me. Well, actually, it's not baffling. It's sleazy. And Merrick Garland has a lot to answer for, and his DOJ, the upper crusties, because this didn't come from the guys downstairs. Remember, you had those whistleblowers testify 2 weeks ago. Where's the document case on Joe Biden? And now we're talking impeachment again. Here we go. What are you going to get us? How about, when your government doesn't enforce the laws, what do you do? That's what I need to understand. Because right now, we have no answer. Congress gives us no answer. The Senate gives us no answer. The government is not doing the people's business. That's what the purpose of government is. Limited government to get in front of problems. And what are they doing? Nothing. Nothing at all. And that is why America should be angry. And the next election, quite frankly, everybody's gone. Everybody's gone. From Schumer all the way down, from McConnell all the way down. We need some new people in there. We need people who really give a darn about America and have that fire to make America what it was again. You know, you want to call it the MAGA crowd? How many times have I heard that word, MAGA? Oh, my God. Mega idiots is what the people who are calling MAGA are. Who cares? Do something for America. And I'm going to do something for America. I'm going to say good night, good morning, and good evening. You've been listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. Thanks for listening to America's Web Radio. Have a great week.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.